Well, hello, and welcome to the Leadership Show. This is Harriet Schumacher, and I'm so happy, I'm honored, really, that you're choosing to spend some time with me here today. This podcast is really designed to have some honest, intriguing, hopefully a sprinkle of inspiration here, on the topic of leadership and what it takes to lead in today's uncertain and volatile environment. And I'm a certified executive coach. I have over 20 years of experience working with leaders globally. And by no means does that mean that I have all the answers. I just know some cool people. I've got some insights and sometimes some things that I want to say. And so this podcast really is for your enjoyment. I hope that you tune in. I hope that you get some value out of it. And thank you again for tuning in. On to the show. Let's start with career vision. And I start with this for a reason, because I find that it's one of the things that women really kind of struggle with and come to me the most, like, well, I don't know what I want, you know, or I'm feeling stuck and I'm not really sure how to move my career forward. And, you know, I'm curious how many of you feel that way right now, feel like you don't really have a plan for the future, don't really necessarily know the direction that you want to take your career in. A lot of women tell me that they feel like they have more of a job and not necessarily like a career. I put that in quotes, you know, but like, and that can be because, you know, we've been doing something for a really long time. And maybe it was really exciting up to a period of time. And then we were like, yeah, I don't know how I feel about this. You know, I'd like some things to change. And so I see this happen over and over again. And so I just want to let you know, like, you're not alone. There's nothing wrong with you. It's totally normal. It's like a normal part of, you know, growth. I think boredom in a role is a symptom of growth and not failure. So I just want to put that out there. It's like, oh, if you're wanting something more, that means you've outgrown the role that you're currently in. And that's a good thing. You know, that's not a bad thing. Yeah. Nancy's like, yeah, I feel like I have a job and not a career. And so what I see this happen, you know, quite a bit. I see women who have been successful, who have been working in a position for quite some time, who were loving their roles and were feeling challenged. And then something kind of shifts, the dynamic shifts. And it's kind of like a gradual, then sudden change where you're like, okay, something needs to give and I want something to give now. You'll learn more about gradually than suddenly when you take fierce. You've got a 5-year itch. Yeah. And so, you know, I think of work as like a relationship. Relationships can lose their luster. So can our jobs, right? So, you know, you want something different, but I think we don't necessarily know what that is. The other thing that I see too is because women play so many roles and we have so many hats, like just the busyness of life can lead to like not having time to do that vision crafting and that vision casting, which you do need to take time out to pause and reflect and like take stock in order to be able to get clear with that. And so there's a couple things that I see. I think for us, there's definitely a success prototype or kind of like an old paradigm of what work should look like for women. And that doesn't work for all of us. Like, I think especially now, I haven't come through like, you know, this pandemic, and it really, I think for a lot of us, it really made us like question, whoa, like what was going on, you know, pre-COVID. And now I've had this like change of lifestyle. And like, now really, what do I want? So there's been a lot of soul searching that's gone on over the past 15 months. And so for a lot of us, maybe it's not necessarily like, oh, I want more money or I want more power or I want more influence. That may not be what necessarily lights me up. If it is, great. But, you know, I just think we've asked ourselves some, you know, deeper questions. Definitely, I believe that women want to get paid what they're worth, and many are not. Many women are getting paid, are getting underpaid and are underrepresented. I mean, but I think this is really about like what drives you, what fuels you. Like money to me is an outcome. You know, it's something that happens once we have, you know, we've arrived at a destination that feels really good for us. And so we don't want to be though distracted by financial, the finances, because if you're not getting paid enough, then it becomes so distracting that you're like looking to replace that income in some other way. Right. So, I also think that there's this, good girl syndrome, which a lot of us were just brought up in that environment. And, you know, we've been told and sort of conditioned to believe that, you know, if you work hard, you get good grades, you know, you look and act a certain way, then you know you're going to get the recognition, you're going to get the reward, you're going to get the payoff, you're going to get promoted, you're going to reach a more senior level. And for a lot of us, we realize like doing that and being caught in that cycle like isn't enough. That is not rewarding. That's not fulfilling. Because a lot of times we don't get the recognition or the reward, right? So we've like the bubble kind of bursts on this whole belief that if I just do a good job, then good things will happen to me, right? Eventually we realize like people are getting promoted and moving forward and like other having access to other opportunities who are working way less than I am. What is going on? This is like, this doesn't feel right. Okay. And so I want you to think about building a career by design and not by default. So I also hear from a lot of women, like, I just took the first opportunity, or I just took the promotion, or I took what they offered me. Like, we just accept it without really thinking about, like, is that really what I want to be doing? And so we don't want to just take whatever comes along. And that's definitely like not, that's lacking vision. We really want to, and I think that's a strategy early on. You know, early on in our careers, we do that. You know, we all just sort of accept what we're given. We're happy to have it. We're like, geez, you know, I'm thankful that I've got a job. And that mindset still exists today. I hear a lot of people being like, I should just be thankful that I have a job. Yes, but you know, if you're feeling like you're accepting your career out of obligation and it's not giving you joy, like that's not, we spend a lot of time at work, right? So there's got to be a better way of figuring this out. And I, because otherwise what ends up happening is like this tension catches up and we end up, you know, feeling unfulfilled. And that leads to all kinds of negative stuff, right? From a performance standpoint, from a reward and recognition standpoint. So, you know, I just wanted to kind of normalize that I see this happening. The other thing too is that, you know, everybody's role kind of has an expiry date, like just like on milk, you know, when you look at like the best before date. If you're in a role that you feel has expired, meaning like it's no longer the best use of you. You know, it's not really like you've been doing it for a really long time and it's not challenging you. It's not bringing you joy. It's not, you know, helping you with your sense of worth. It's kind of eroding your self-esteem because sometimes that can happen too. Then it's probably time to contemplate like making a shift. So, how do we do that? That's a little bit about what we're going to talk about today. And, you know, I want to talk about why vision matters. Because if you don't know where you're going, you might end up somewhere else. And that somewhere else might be the place where you didn't intend. And I see women like torn with making a choice of changing, like, you know, leaving a position, especially if they've been there for a really long time. Like, there's so much guilt and so much angst that comes from like making a change because we're highly loyal in our positions. But I think what happens for women and what makes it particularly hard for women to accelerate their career is that. You know, we have our head down. We tend to be compliant. We kind of accept what we've been given. We fly under the radar. We work really hard. And then what ends up happening, you know, is people like all one day wake up and they're like, how did I get here? Like, how did I arrive at this place where I'm exhausted? I'm tired. I'm feeling like disconnected and unfulfilled. Like, and I don't have direction. Like, I don't know what to do or where to go next. And so I think it's really important to get clear on where it is that we want to go. And so this is really about connecting back to you. Like you can't build a good career vision unless you really get grounded in yourself. And I think for women, we spend so much time focusing on others and putting other people's needs before our own. I see this happen so often, and I do it too. Like I'm a mom, I got two kids, I got parents to take care of, I got, you know, a spouse and a dog and plants. I'm just keep adding plants to my life. It's like more stuff to take care of. I don't know what I'm doing, but you know, I'm a nurturer, I guess. But I think we end up like kind of stumbling into our careers and we don't know who we can lose ourselves in the process or not really know like what we really care about and what we want. And so we need to get clarity about where it is that we want to go. And that starts with really reconnecting with self. And that's where I want to begin this whole process with you is to give you an opportunity to like kind of dig deeper and be like, okay, who am I? You know, what makes me tick? What do I really want? And get confident and authentic and like intentional about that. Because that'll help you discern and make choices from a directional standpoint about where it is that you want to go. So The other thing that I will share with you, and I think even more importantly to know, is that your career vision is kind of made up of really three big building blocks, which we're going to talk about today. Number one, what are your values? Like, what do you really stand for? And I've got some exercises that I'm going to ask you to complete when you're ready. What are your strengths? We're going to talk about how to figure those out today as well. And also, what gives you energy? Because I feel like work should feel good. You know, you should be like happy. Isn't that a novel concept? Like, wow, our work should actually energize us and should feel good and we should enjoy it. Like, funny that. So, you know, if you're not feeling that way, it could be that you've fallen into that trap of like, you know, maybe having a job, not a career, feeling like you need to change something, or you've just, you know, outgrown what you've been doing, and that's great. Time for something else. Some time for something new and time an opportunity to really refresh. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to give you how to break down these building blocks, and then I'm going to give you lots of coaching questions and things to start reflecting on to build your career vision. There's no like one way to do it. I'm going to give you lots of different ways to approach this, and I want you to pick and choose like what feels good to you. Maybe some of this kind of stuff you have done recently. Maybe you haven't had time to sit back and do it. But this is typically what good career vision holds. One of the things I should mention too that we see time and time again is a differentiator between men and women when it comes to leadership capacity. Men tend to score higher than women on vision. And I'm not sure, you know, I mean, we could postulate why we think that is. You know, why is it that men score higher than women on vision? What do you guys think? On being able to be visionary, why do you think that might be? Any
It's
ideas?
definitely not because they're smarter.
Yeah.
I have a male friend here from France who's visiting. He's like, "It's because we're smarter." It was a joke. I'm like, "Nope,
Oh, is
that's
it?
not
No.
it."
It's, I mean, it's interesting to me. Like, why is it that when that we kind of look at, you know, core leadership competencies, which has been like studied, Andrew says they use more definitive language, perhaps. Yes. I mean, I don't really know why. Like, I don't have my finger on it. The only thing that I have kind of come to think about is the time. I think it's a time piece. I think that we tend to, and also just that we're not fulfilling those roles in leadership. So when I think of visionary leadership, that's more senior leadership. That's what that role requires, is like setting the vision for the organization. And because there are just not as many women in those positions, you know, globally, we're not as, we don't have as much practice in it. And so we're doing like day-to-day stuff. I think a lot of women, even if they have the title of senior leader, find themselves as what I call like super managers. Yeah, I'm with you, Nancy. Yeah, exactly. Because we're fixing so many things. You know, we joke about this in leadership. We say, you know, support team at the office equals women. Like that's the role that we get pigeonholed into. And who has time to be visionary there? We're like executing and implementing all day long, and then like taking all the other roles and putting it in there. So I think it's, I'm with you, Nancy. I think it's because of that tendency. And so this is problematic though. Do we see the reason why this is challenging? Because if we don't get vision in terms of who we want to be, how we want to lead, what we want our career, then we are going to stay stuck. We're going to stay stuck. So this is really about your personal career vision, but it's also about you. I think it's almost like your mantra, like who you are, what makes you tick, what's the force that you want to bring into the world. You can do this whether you have the job figured out or not. Like it really comes back to who you are. And we're going to start with reconnecting with your values first. But I really firmly believe no vision, no leadership. And then you're just kind of in autopilot. You're sitting back and like letting the everybody else's vision pull you along. And so this is really about setting your own course and getting your own direction. Okay, so let's talk about values in just a second here. And I just want to leave you with this thought. If it doesn't light you up, you're not the right person for the job. And I say this for lots of different reasons, but there is this belief that we have been conditioned to buy into, which is like, suck it up, hold your breath, do all this stuff out of obligation, and then hopefully someday you will feel good, or you will be happy, or you will be joyful, right? I think the purpose is to feel good the entire way, not someday. And you, Carlin says she loves this. You and I have all been in a situation where we've been receiving like customer service or had some sort of transaction with somebody. And you're like, I don't think this is the role for you. Have you ever had that experience where you're like, yeah, I just don't think this is really where you belong. And what does that feel like? Like, what's that experience like, right? And so, you know, if you do the math, I'd encourage you to do that. Like, how much of your life will you actually spend working and being at work? Like, this should light a spark for you. If it's not lighting you up, it's time to make a change, because it's costing you and it's costing everybody else that you're around, right? So, yeah, just a little tone setter here for you. Okay, so let's talk values. Let's talk values and help get you, help you start to come to terms with what are your core values. And so values can feel like cheesy and light. And I think that's because organizations have made it that way. Like, here's our organizational values. And they put them in those posters. Have you ever been to those offices where they have those like framed prints on the wall? And it's like respect. And there's people paddling on a misty canoe or something together. Like, that's not it. I mean, I love the intention behind it, but that's really, you know, how it's become like cheesy. But values really are core. They are so, so, so important. That is your office. I'm sure of it. They're around all over the place. Yeah. And so that company made a lot of money because they're in everybody's office, whoever they are. They made some values posters and like they went global with that. Okay. But I think a lot of organizations put a lot of lip service to this. And I think personal values, even career, well, personal values and career values should be the same, because it's foundational really about your life and what you stand for. It tells you what matters, what you believe in, what you're willing to stand for. Now, the challenge with values is that we can value something at a really high level, but not necessarily be practicing it on a daily day-to-day basis. Or we can be working for an organization which is suffering from like an integrity outage, where what they believe in and what they practice every single day are incongruent. And so I really believe that women, we do stand for something, but we need to be more vocal with what our values are. We need to be making decisions from that place, because for so many reasons, like, you know, we hold the purse globally. Like, we are the consumers globally. There's so much more that we could be doing to create change, just in terms of really getting clear on what our values are and also creating change inside our organization. So the beginning of your career vision needs to come from you getting really clear on what your values are. And I've given you some exercises which I'm going to walk you through how to do that. But I find that, you know, women can sometimes be compliant. So I see a pattern in women from an organizational standpoint, from a leadership standpoint, where we kind of stand behind power. We don't necessarily claim it. And so I want you to think about your values in this way. These are places where you are not willing to compromise. Like, you are not willing to look past, ignore, or tolerate. Because if you're feeling stuck, and I see this where women are dissatisfied with their workplace, it's usually because of an integrity outage. It's like something's not right, either in the way the decisions are being made, or, you know, like we're out of sync somewhere and it doesn't feel good anymore. And so maybe your workplace doesn't share the same values as you do. And I think that should be a real differentiator when you're thinking about like what's next for you. Are you going to be able to lead from a place of integrity and lead from a place of your values and work in an environment? Because I really feel more than money, that is what women want to see time and time again, is a place where I can be myself and we're like doing good stuff and it's meaningful. And, you know, obviously we want to get paid to do it too. We're not here to volunteer. But when values gets out of alignment, it leads to a lot of unhappiness. So this is about what you give work to. a worth to story, and how you can use your values and use them as a way to guide you to live and lead in a way that is really meaningful to you. So it's like having a purposeful career vision, not just the title of the job, not just the title of the job, but, you know, really like who are you and what makes you tick. And so they can be hard to define. It can be tricky sometimes. So I've given you a list of values inside the learning portal for this module, which we'll talk about in just a few seconds. But this is really about, you know, pausing and taking stock and leading from that place. I think for women, values can be hard because many of us have been told what our values should be. And society really wants us to value what the world values, you know, and to kind of like uphold that, especially inside our organization. Like, you know, we're supposed to just model, especially in a leadership position, we're supposed to model what our organization values. Well, maybe not necessarily, because sometimes if they're not valuing good things, they're not demonstrating the things that are aligned to us. So defining them, living them, communicating them, speaking about them, making decisions from this place requires courage. And so you may discover when you go through some of this reflection work that you've been living out of alignment with what really matters to you. And this could be challenging for you, but also a tremendous opportunity to really think about, okay, what do I do with this information now that I have it? Where, what's the direction that I want to go in? And so there's a real distinction here between safety-based thinking and like being safe, like that thought of, I just should be happy that I've got a job, even though I hate it here. Like that's that kind of safety-based thinking, right? Like at least I've got a job. Well, yeah, keep it. Doesn't mean you have to tolerate being unhappy for the rest of your life just to get a paycheck. Like it doesn't have to be that way. So the other side of this, the flip side of the coin, is living in alignment with what you value. And so finding a match between what you really believe in and work. And so there's an exercise in here, inside the learning portal, around defining your list of values. So I put like a whole bunch of words in there. There's a handout called List of Values. And like read through the list, shortlist it, you know, like read through them and you'll instantly be like, oh, that, yeah, that sounds like me. I value that. Like you'll be curious about something. Some things will be, meh, that's not on my list. Just scratch those out. I usually say like, start with a list of 10. Then I say, go to the dictionary and look those up. What do those words mean? And be like, yeah, that is it, or it's not. And like, refine. We should have like 3 to 5 core values, no more than that. That you're like, yep, this is what I want to build my life around. I want my career to be a manifestation of this. I want to work for leaders who share similar values. I want my team to share similar values. You know, like, this is what I want to attract more of in my life. That is really, really an important place to start. And really think about what is true for you. I'd encourage you also, when you name your values and you're clear on what they are, I want you to just kind of think about, if you were to rank them on a scale of importance initially, like how much do you actually value this value? Like from, you know, 1 being not at all, 10 being like extremely high. Okay, so where do they sit on that scale? And then, but how much are you practicing it daily? Because values are only worth something if we practice them out loud. So what I see a lot for women is I'll hear like, I value honesty. Okay, yeah, like at a really high level, but I'm not honest with other people on a day-to-day basis. So we are out of alignment between what we value and how we are showing up and practicing, which can lead to a lot of internal turmoil and ending up maybe in a job or a career where we're really feeling stuck. So you got to get honest with yourself. You can value something at a really high level and not necessarily be practicing it day to day. And that's cool. So then the question is, what am I going to do to ensure that I can live this value more consistently? Where am I out of alignment? And maybe it's with certain people, certain relationships. Maybe it's in your organization. Like my organization does not value this. I do. And I've become like part of the organization. I've dropped, you know, my values in order to get ahead here. And it's making me feel like shitty, really. And so it's a bit of a wake up call here. Okay. So you may, that's, it's all right if that happens, but we got to start somewhere we got to start with at least naming and noticing what is. Okay. So there's a couple exercises in there. I would like you to just get reconnect with what your values are. They change over time too, right? Like how our life evolves, our values change. And so it's a good, really good place to get started and reconnect. And so what are your core values? What do you stand for? And what kind of values do you want your career to represent? And so when I think about values, I think like, oh, what do you want people to say about you? It's in the learning portal website part. Yeah. So all of your, like anything that's like masterclass or content related will always be in there. So when you go into the group masterclasses, there's a category or a section there. This will be in the June one. So every time I have a live, any resources that come with this live section will be posted in there for you. There'll be like worksheets and downloads. There's also a guided meditation for you to do there that I've plopped in, and a couple of extra things. So there'll always be stuff to choose and kind of pick away at. And as I discover more stuff, I'll put it in there for you too. So just feel free to make that your home. That's great. Thanks for asking. Okay. So, you know, I think about this piece about talking about like how we've been conditioned to behave a certain way or build a career a certain way. You know, if we go back to our core values and what we really stand for and what we really believe in, and I want you to remember this, like, do you remember who you were before the world told you who you should be? Because there are definitely inside our organizations, like success prototypes and ways of showing up and ways of behaving that are preferred. And sometimes, you know, in order to get ahead, we can adapt naturally, you know, because we want to be safe, we want to fit in, and we want to belong. We can adapt to that model. And it can be really challenging for women because that model typically is like a middle-aged white guy. Like that's what the success prototype is in most organizational culture. It's like, you know, you just have one singular focus. You don't have multiple roles. You want to continue to keep climbing the ladder into a more senior level position. And maybe that is what you want, but some women feel like that's not really my model of success. I don't feel like I fit in. So there can be a very like one size fits some success model. And so because we have been like, well, you know, conditioned to believe like, you know, you finish school, then you go to more school, then you get a job, then you continually get promoted until you retire. Like that's the model, right? We can get out of alignment with our values. And I think right now, like there's this tremendous opportunity for us to reset. And we need to reset because that success prototype has created a lot of harm and hurt. So this is really an opportunity for women to say, actually, I stand for something other than that. This is what I stand for. This is what I want to build my career, my life around. Okay. So this is aligning with what matters most to you first, reconnecting to you. So once you've gotten clear on what your values are and you've named a couple of core values, you know what they mean, you've looked them up in the dictionary, you've like landed on the word, you've kind of measured whether or not you're living and leading in alignment with those things, you're practicing them pretty consistently, you kind of have a sense of what it looks like to do that on a daily basis. Like, what does it look like from a behavior standpoint? The next thing that I want you to do is to get clear on what your strengths are. So every single one of us has a total, it's almost like a DNA, I think, of the way in which we perform certain things and like strengths that we bring to our lives and to our jobs. None of us are the same. Like we are so unique in terms of our strengths. Like for example, I shouldn't say never, but Excel spreadsheets and like organization and like detail and that kind of stuff. It's just, it's not my strength. It really is not. There are people who are like, you know, geniuses with that stuff. You know this, you've worked with other people. And you're like, how is it that they can do that thing? And they love doing that thing. And I'm painful doing that thing. Those are your strengths at play. Women tend to really dampen down and downplay their strengths because to own them and to be confident in them would be boastful and like arrogant and icky, right? So what I find is women know a lot about their deficiencies and their weaknesses, but they really don't know their strengths. you need to know this. You need to know what makes you tick, what makes you stand apart from everybody else in your world. What are the things that come naturally to you? Because this is where you find a job and a career that doesn't feel like work, when you can work from a place of strength. It's like strength equals talent equals like passion. Like, I see those things connected. When I discovered what my strengths were, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I should not do these things. Like, I should avoid those things entirely. And I should definitely develop more of this. So in leadership development, where I've worked my entire career, there are two camps that kind of emerge from that field. And you'll see this inside most organizations too. Most organizations focus on leadership development from a place of weakness. So like, let's talk about what's not working and let's give you some constructive feedback and let's get you to fix those weak parts of yourself, right? I don't know about you, but I don't want to get up and like develop my weaknesses all day long. That would be exhausting and painful and it would suck like for you, for me, for everybody who is encountering me, right? It's almost like when you write, what's your dominant hand? Are you right-handed or left-handed? So what if I told you, okay, you have to work from your non-dominant hand every single day? That is what working from a place of weakness is. So if you're in a job where you feel like I don't get to use my strengths every single day, I don't get to use them, you're probably feeling like you're working from your non-dominant hand every day. And it's like slow and inefficient and like distracting and you're like groaning. That's what it's like to not work from a place of strength. And so I want you to focus on what is right with you versus what is wrong with you. You got to just let that slide, because this is how you get clarity of vision. Like, okay, this is the direction that I want to be going in, the place where like I find strength from doing this. Your top strengths, you probably are not aware of because they're so strong in you. You don't have to think about it in order to do it. It's like air. So I want you to think about these questions here. I've got a couple of things that I want you to think about doing for yourself. If you're really like, I need to figure myself out here. So go back to any feedback that you have received and think about, when you're working at your best, what is the positive impact that people say you have? Those are your strengths at play. Those are the things that people notice in you that they're like, wow, this was really valuable. This was really high impact. This is how you help me. It's typically something that other people look at. They're like, how do you do that? I couldn't do that. You know, what do you hear others say about you? What are your strengths? Do you know what they are? Do you have language for those? Can you articulate them? I would also encourage you, if you have not done this, and I put a link to this in the learning portal and the website as well in the June masterclass, which this recording will go into, to do a Gallup StrengthsFinder assessment. It's a self-assessment. It's not included in this because it's about $100 to do the full report. You can do a 5 strengths report. It's about $25, I'm going to say roughly. It is a really great assessment. So if you do the full StrengthsFinder assessment, it will give you a list of 34 functional strengths. These are like what everybody needs in order to be able to, you know, run a business and, you know, all that stuff, right? It'll rank them from highest to lowest. And so your top 5 are your most dominant 5 strengths. These are the things that will probably always be your top 5 strengths. They don't change very much. The ordering of them, like from 1 to 5, might change a little bit, but they're always going to be the thing that you bring. Number 1 will probably be always be number 1. You know what I mean? It's like who you are. You'll get a really cool report. And then what's at number 34, you get to say goodbye to. Like at the bottom of the list, those are your weaknesses. They will always be your weaknesses. They will never be at number 1. You know, freedom comes from that. You can look at it and say, okay, these are the things that I should not be doing. Because if I was to have a job or a role that required me to do these things, it would be painful. So if you're not sure what your strengths are, I would encourage you to do a StrengthsFinder report, or you can do a strengths-based feedback session. Like if you don't have the finances to do the StrengthsFinder, most organizations would probably supplement you to do that. It's a pretty well-known, like Gallup is a huge organization. It's a very reputable assessment. But I put some free ones inside the group too, inside the website too. There's a section under leadership assessment tools. Those are more personality profile ones, but there's a lot of correlations here because kind of everybody leans on the same kind of psychology. But StrengthsFinder I've found is really powerful because it just speaks the language of strength. It's not like an MBTI. But if you can't do any of those tools, then I would encourage you to conduct a strengths-based feedback session with people at work, asking them questions like, what do you think my strengths are? You know, when I'm working at my best, what do you see me doing? Like, how do I help you? How do I help the team? How do I help the strategy? It's really like focusing on the positive, on the strengths-based piece of it, and ask people to tell you. Go through any feedback that you've received and highlight the positive components that you've heard. And when people say, oh, you're such a great blankety blank, like that's probably your strength, things that you've heard, like go and ask your friends and see what they can help you with. So the goal here is to know that you need to define, refine, and own your strengths and build a career that allows you to play to your strengths every single day. And so you should be able to answer yes to this question. I get to do what I am best at every single day. If you can't do what you're best at, or you don't know what you're best at, you're probably like, you know, maybe feeling a bit stuck. So this is a big, big tipping point for a lot of people. I have seen and coached women who have walked into job interviews with their strengths and said, if I can't do this in this job, I don't want it. This makes me happy. This is where joy comes from. This is where I feel like I'm not slogging through. Like that would be like me being in Excel spreadsheets every day. Like it would be a nightmare. All right. So really an important part of building a career vision is that you can own and know your strengths. And there's a great guy. Maybe you've encountered him before. His name is Marcus Buckingham. He is a real big strengths advocate. He has a lot of resources. I'll probably pop a few of his videos into the website there. But, you know, he says this, like you grow most in your areas of greatest strength. And that is because the places where you are strong, you're like attracted to it. Like you just go there and you want to do more of that naturally. So you're going to improve the most. You're going to be the most creative there. You're going to be the most inquisitive and bounce back the fastest in those areas where you've already shown natural advantage over everyone else. And so doesn't mean you should ignore your weaknesses. Don't ignore them, but we're not going to dwell on them. We're going to like know what they are and like try to get away from them. Try to find people in your world who have those weaknesses as a strength. And that's when you build a really great team. It just means that you'll grow most where you're already strong. So it's really important to know what your strengths are when you're thinking about moving or changing positions, because to work from a place of weakness or to pick a job just because it's like different or has a different title but doesn't allow you to do what you do best every day, it's not necessarily a great move. Okay. Okay. The next thing that I want you to think about is where you get energy from. So have you ever had that experience where you've been working on something and you're like, I could just do this all day. Like, it just feels good. You know, I feel like it satisfied me in some way. I feel like I made an impact, or I feel like I was my most productive. It didn't feel like work. I finished whatever that was and I'm feeling like energized from it. Even though it was really like intense maybe, or hard to do, it still fills you up. Do you know what those things are? And so I think it's almost like looking like what is an energy gainer and what is a drainer in your role, in your career, in your job. And so making a list of parts of your role that you love and parts that you loathe. Like, what would you like to never, ever do again? Those are things you should not do anymore. Right? But figuring out what gives you energy goes back to that whole piece. Like, if it doesn't light you up, you're not the right person for the job. And so what gives you energy? What kind of projects, roles, settings make you feel excited, make you feel alive? You're like, I would love to sink my teeth into that. If I was given time to just do this thing, I'd be so excited. I would wake up early and I couldn't, you know, you wouldn't be able to stop me from like researching it and knowing more about it. And so this is important because this is really for women. I think where like self-efficacy comes from, our ability to be able to exert control and have agency is about around being effective and making an impact, not just being the dumping ground for everybody else. And so, these are not light topics. This is really the difference between a job versus a career. This is when you're like, I love what I do. I love going to work every day. I get to make a positive impact. It lights me up. And then you start attracting that that energy around you, right? Then you have vision. Then you have an idea of where you want to go and the purpose that you want to make. And then you start enlisting other people around you who are excited about that vision too. There's nothing worse than being around somebody who is like not lit up by where they're doing. It's almost like bug repellent. It's like everybody wants to stay around away from that person because they're an energy drainer because they're not lit up by what it is that they're doing, right? And that's so true for so many people who just feel stuck and are like plodding through and just can't wait to get to the weekend because like this sucks the life force out of me, you know? So I want you to think about if you're feeling stuck, what is staying stuck costing you? So, you know, a big part of why I think women stay in a job, a role, whatever you want to call it, working for an organization, working for a team. There's a couple reasons why I think we stay stuck. Number one is we're just tired. Like, we just don't have energy in the first place, right? So burnout is a really big deal. We're going to be talking about stress and burnout here in the group. I'm going to be having a guest series on that in the fall. You're going to definitely want to take that course to talk about burnout and stress management. But the time and energy that's required to make a change. Sometimes we can just be like, oh my God, I just don't have it in me to like do this, you know, all of the stuff that's required. And so we just end up staying stuck. Feels easier. I think also the lack of clarity piece. So unsure what to do. So if not this, then what else? Like, I don't even know what else there is. I don't even know, right? All I know is this. So I'm not really clear. So, you know, the what's next question can be challenging. Like, I know I want something new, but I don't know what it is yet. And that is typically a symptom of just accepting whatever has come your way. And also a symptom of like lacking vision and not knowing what your strengths are, not knowing what energizes you, just being like, I have been just kind of plodding along, you know, doing what I've been told to do or what's acceptable to do for a really long time. So I've kind of lost clarity and lost focus. It's hard to pursue something if you don't know what you're wanting to pursue, or you don't know who you want to be while you're pursuing that. I also think another big barrier that we have to come to terms with is sometimes we can lack the courage to make the change because, you know, it's easier to be here. It's the known versus the unknown problem all the time, right? So it takes courage to leave a job. It takes courage to step into a role where most often a bit of it's going to be more challenging. I also feel like women really stress out about not feeling ready. I personally feel if you are ready, you have waited too long. Who wants to be in a job that you're like 100% ready for? That sounds boring, right? But this is a really big challenge for women. Like, I have to meet 100% of the qualifications before I will apply. I just don't know if I'm going to be ready. What if I fail? You know, there's all of that kind of internal stuff, right? So, you know, the courage piece around taking a chance on yourself. Also, like that you actually are able to take on something more or something new and different. And so it can take courage to shake up a routine. I think women can feel guilty about leaving something. And so if you've been in your role for a really long time, safety comes with this. And so I see women like really wanting to leave their position, but they're like, I've been doing this for a long time and at least I know what it is. So should I just ride it out? And it's like, ooh, I don't know, you know? So sometimes it can be hard to contemplate leaving. So I want to give you guys a couple coaching questions that I want to open up for some questions and see kind of what emerges from this. So questions that I want you to think about for yourself and know how to answer. You can journal these, you can post some answers to these in Slack. I'd love to hear your responses. So what's the biggest goal that you have for your career right now? What do you want? You got to know that first. Like, what do you actually want? Is it a promotion? Is it less responsibility, more responsibility? You want to raise, you want a team, you want to work for an organization that's more aligned with your values. There's a particular initiative that you want to launch. You want to be recognized. You want to feel more confident. Like, what is it? What kind of work would excite you the most? That's that energy piece. You're like, if I could do this all day long, it wouldn't feel like work. Why would that excite you? You got to know why. What kind of problem or problems would you like to be solving and for whom? It's another great way to build vision. You know, I want to work with these people. I want to help solve this problem. Like, it could be a really big problem, like a global problem, and this could be your dent in it. I want to see more women get into senior leadership positions, and I want to close the pay equity gap. That's what I want to do. Am I going to solve that myself? Hell no. Can I make a dent in it? Yes, I can. If money were not an object, what work would you be doing? Sometimes this is like the values question that helps you to get really like, if I could do this and not get paid for doing this. Now, sometimes if you're thinking about moving into entrepreneurship and you're wanting to change, this can be the spark that can ignite a possible business venture or a side hustle. You know, I'm the most passionate about this thing. I haven't figured out how to get paid by doing it yet, but I would love to do that. Okay. The strengths question here is about how are you uniquely positioned to help your organization in the world? There is something unique that you do that other people cannot do in the way that you do it. Guaranteed. It is a guarantee. I know that I am right about that. So you need to know exactly what that is and have a healthy level of arrogance about talking about that with other people. It's what makes you you. It's a beautiful thing. Nobody else is out here and does what you do in the way that you do it. As cliche as that sounds, it is absolutely true. In fact, if you and I did our strengths profile side by side and we had the same theme, right? The way in which we deploy that theme would be so unique. Like, there's just a total nuance to how we do things, right? So you really need to believe that and get comfortable with that. And so your career sweet spot is like the intersection of these things and like taking all of these pieces and putting them together into a plan. So what you're good at or what you're great at, you know, your strengths, what you love to do, what you're passionate about, that's in alignment with your values, and then what the world needs and would pay you for. So the problem that needs to get solved. And I say world or your organization. I bet you your organization has tons of problems. So this is about sometimes creating opportunities that don't already exist. So if you're like, oh, you know what? My company is like constantly stuck with this issue and I know how to solve it and they're not working on it. Bingo, there's an opportunity for you to pitch like a new project, a new initiative, a new role by you looking at a problem that you could solve because you're really strong at that. And it would be like amazing for you to do it. And so what you're good at, what you're great at, what do people come to you for, your strengths, your talents, feedback you've received, do your StrengthsFinder assessment if you haven't done that already, what are you getting compliments for, what do you get praised for, what are you recognized for, what are you known for, what do people say about you? Maybe it comes easy to you, but it would be difficult for other people to do it, okay? So that's like when you know that you've got a unique strength. And the other part here is, what do you love to do? That it's like, it feels easy. It doesn't feel like work. This is meaningful for me. It's aligned with what I value. What are you most passionate about? And what would you just like to continue to keep learning about? I always think that that's a good sign of like something that you're really excited about. It's that energy gainer. Like, I would like to read books on this and learn more about this and become more masterful in this. Like, I would dedicate time to this because I'm interested in it. Sometimes we're multi-passionate and that's cool. I think a lot of women are, like, we have a lot of different things that we're interested in, but thinking about, okay, if I could build a career around this, what would that be? So we have to kind of like maybe make different lifts. Okay. This is personal and this is career. And then what the world needs and would pay you for, what your company needs and would pay you for. And so looking for potentially profitable opportunities or something in the marketplace, maybe a problem in the marketplace if you're looking to start a side hustle, or looking at a problem that your organization is grappling with and how you are uniquely positioned to try to help them solve that problem. And if you love the company where you work and you just like to change the present role that you have within it, you know, try renaming this to, you know, what the company needs and would pay you for instead of what the world needs and would pay you for. It's just kind of like two different lenses, whether you're an entrepreneur or whether you're working inside an organization. And so you might be able to make a pitch to your boss about a new role. You know, organizations love people who bring solutions to problems, not problems. Like, bring the plan. You got to advocate and ask for what you want. But first, you got to get clear on what that is. And so take a moment to pull all these things together and be like, okay, so what do I see here? What do I see? What are my strengths? What do I value? What do I really love to do? And sometimes figuring out what you love to do comes from figuring out what you loathe, like the things that you just do not want to do. Okay, we're going to eliminate that. Take that off the list. And to look for recurring themes, like maybe put these into three buckets and be like, okay, is there a way to combine these into something that makes me feel like if I could move forward with the vision of this, this is really what I want to be doing. And you can start jotting down some concepts and putting some words associated with that. I think the future self visualization that I have inside the website, it's a guided meditation. And I put some journaling questions there for you. The idea with that is to see yourself 20 years from now. And so I would encourage you to do this work first, and then I would do the future self visualization, journal what you see. You need to like chill out, relax, do it when you're calm and it's quiet. You're not going to get distracted. It's about 15 minutes or so. You just want to be able to like decompress and do it and let yourself go with it. You might need to do it more than once, because the first time it might, if you've never done any kind of visualization exercises before, you might be like, this is weird. And that's cool. I was like that the first time too. So give it a second round. And see what you come up with and see if that can help you feel like you're landing on something that feels clear. There's more to come from this. Like, we're building blocks in relation to this. So this is a lot to do initially. There's a lot of work to figure out what are your strengths, what are your values, what do you love, what do you loathe, what gives you energy, what drains you. Knowing this first, and then we're going to build on this notion from month to month, right? To get you clear on different components of this. So let's give you a couple of additional questions, things to think about. These are just some coaching questions from me to you. So if you're not feeling secure in your role, because I know that that's a challenge for a lot of people right now, might not necessarily feel secure in your position, and that might be leading you to wanting to make a change, what would make you feel more secure? And you can say in your current job or in a future job. So what is the security piece? Because I think we all want to feel secure. And certainty has been one of those things that's really been thrown for a loop with COVID. So, you know, what is it that would make you feel more certain? You'd love your work more if blank. A way that you know that you have your job under control is blank. My job would fit me well because, or the role fits me well because. Other than money, why do you do what you do? In order to find another fulfilling job, I would blank. Like, what do you feel is the next step if you're looking for something that's more fulfilling? And a way that I know my work is deeply valued by others is blank. I put these just different questions for you to contemplate and think about from a clarity standpoint. These are questions that I would use in one-on-one coaching. Okay, so let's see if there's any questions that have emerged from this reflection time. And I've been doing a lot of talking. So anyone have any questions? Pop them into the chat or feel free to unmute yourself.
I'll ask a question.
Great, go for it.
So I've moved into a kind of a new role. I don't have to get into details, but right. I'm finding that because there's so many levels into this new organization, I come from an organization prior to my new job where there was kind of a little flatter. It was like maybe three levels. And now I work in a major environment. I work for the Canadian Red Cross and it's national and there's so many different levels and it's throughout a matrix. So I'm sort of, maybe can't be answered now, but moving forward, maybe answering how to navigate finding what the organization's problems are at a larger level to be able to pitch those opportunities. Sometimes working in a team, you kind of know at a micro level what the problems are. But on a macro level, did those problems really matter to the powers that be to kind of move forward?
Yeah.
So I guess the question is how to navigate those conversations to find out what people maybe two levels above me feel the problems are.
Yeah.
To be able to pitch an opportunity to solve those problems in order to move forward.
Yeah, I think when you start in a new role, you should kind of put like a bit of a stakeholder map. Like, who are the people inside this organization that I want to start to get to know, and like relationships that I want to leverage? And then you should book meets with those people. It's really important for women specifically to like get out of like the my boss relationship and just the team dynamic. And so if you're not getting invited to those meetings, then it could just be part of your onboarding plan. Like, you kind of got a window that's open right now because you're new, and you could be like, oh, I just want to get an opportunity to, you know, book a coffee chat, introduce myself, get to know people. And I would encourage you just to ask them some questions. So like, you know, what are you most excited about, or what are you working on, or what are some of the challenges that you've been experiencing? You know, however you want to frame that question, and just, you know, do some investigative research initially. We're going to do a masterclass about leveraging relationships. We're going to start talking about that more deeply in that, oops, my paper's flying away, in that group masterclass. And I'm going to give you some questions to think about. And then ask for like strategic documents or anything that's going on inside the organization that would be like organizational wide. They'll typically tell you what the problems are, the problem statements there, and kind of what the vision is. So anything like that that's already been done that you could get a copy of and get your hands on and read it would be helpful. Okay. Anything that they've done externally or any strategic planning documents. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You definitely want to get in front of some different audiences, meet some new people. Yeah. Okay. Take care. Enjoy the rest of your week. Thanks, everybody. Bye.